The monochrome frieze depicts a battlefield covered with dead Spartan soldiers. Color infuses the display. The soldiers become flesh and blood. The muscular men, many of them pierced with arrows, are half-naked in simple dark loincloths and armored boots. They lie in mud amongst their own circular shields and flowing blood-red capes. A shaven-headed horseman decked with jewelry stops beside a bearded soldier, Leonidas, who lies dead on his back. The Persian horseman Xerxes lowers an ornate golden double-headed axe to Leonidas' throat.
The oracle's words stand as a warning, a prophecy. Sparta will fall. All of Greece will fall.
Roaring, Xerxes swings the axe towards Leonidas.
And Persian fire will reduce Athens to cinder. For Athens is a pile of stone and wood and cloth and dust. And as dust, will vanish into the wind. Only the Athenians themselves exist, and the fate of the world hangs on their every syllable.
A sweating, bare-chested man shaves a tree trunk, then raises a mallet.
Only the Athenians exist. And only stout wooden ships can save them. Wooden ships. And a tidal wave of heroes' blood.
A blood-red wave crashes down. Lightning strikes. Scrawled in blood. 300. Rise of an empire.
Leonidas, my husband. Leonidas, your king. Leonidas and the brave 300 are dead. The free men and women of Greece are not bound by a beautiful Spartan death. War is not their love, yet he lay down his life for them, for the promise Greece holds. 'Tis our enemies who forged our freedom in the fires of war. It was King Darius who came to take our land. 10 years ago, when youth still burned in our eyes, before this bitter war forced our children to become men. 10 years ago, this war began, as all wars begin, with a grievance.
Night, warriors storm down a hill.
Marathon. The Persian king Darius, annoyed by the notion of Greek freedom, has come to Greece to bring us to heel. He makes landfall at the field of Marathon with an invading force which outnumbers the Greek defenders 3-1. And so at dawn, the hopeless Athenians do the unthinkable. They attack. They attack the weary Persians as they disembark their ships on shaky legs after a month at sea. They attack before they can establish their war camp and supply their soldiers. And who is the architect of this mad strategy? A little-known Athenian soldier. His men call him Themistocles. He gives the Persians a taste of Athenian shock combat.
Lightning streaks through the sky as the Athenians and Persians clash on a beach at the bottom of the hill. Bare-chested in steel helmets, Athenian soldiers carve through Persian ranks with swords and axes. In a striking blue cape, Themistocles wields a short, thick sword. He cuts through enemies with brutal, efficient strikes. Time slows, and the night sky lights up as Themistocles slams the edge of his round shield into a Persian's ribs. He follows up with a slashing strike, decapitating the kneeling Persian. An arc of thick, dark blood follows the sweep of his sword. With his shield, he blocks and breaks an enemy spear. Assailed from all angles, Themistocles wheels around. He uppercuts, then blocks. Shield up, he strikes downward. He defends his left and attacks to his right. All of his assailants fall. He ducks as an enemy charges. The Persian rolls over Themistocles' shoulder. A lightning flash illuminates the battlefield. An Athenian picks up a spear and impales a charging enemy in midair. He withdraws the spear. Themistocles runs, cutting down Persians on foot and horseback. A panicking Persian without a weapon throws a bucket at him, then tries to flee. He's cut down and stabbed in the back. Time slows as the Persian falls face first into the sand. A horse rears up nearby. Themistocles cracks the grounded rider with his shield. The wide-eyed, terrified horse crushes the fallen Persian's head with its hoof. Themistocles bolts up a wooden jetty onto a dock by the water's edge. He fells several enemies, pins a Persian to a wooden post, then stabs him through the mouth. He cuts down two more, then looks out across the ocean at the Persian armada. He spots burly, bald and bearded King Darius on the deck of a warship. Themistocles leaps off the dock onto the beach and rejoins the battle. He makes two kills, then an arrow nicks his shoulder. Two more arrows stick in his shield. He spots the archers preparing to fire again and throws his sword, eliminating one of them.
All thoughts of glory are gone. Thousands dead. Hundreds of them their own.
The second archer fires.
All for an idea. A free Greece. An Athenian experiment called democracy.
The arrow glances off his helmet. He charges the archer.
Could this idea be worth it? Worth all this sacrifice?
He removes his helmet.
Themistocles would let the good King Darius decide.
He batters the archer.
For through the chaos, a moment appeared.
He spots Darius watching the battle from his ship.
And Themistocles would seize it.
He looks down at the archer's fallen bow. On the deck of the boat, Darius turns to his dark-haired son, Xerxes. Themistocles takes aim with the bow.
A moment that would ring across the centuries. A moment that would raise him from simple soldier to the height of Athenian political power.
Xerxes spots Themistocles firing.
A moment that would make Themistocles a legend.
A bolt of lightning strikes the sea as the arrow arcs through the grim sky. Xerxes sprints across the deck of the boat. Darius turns back to the battle, and the arrow thuds into his chest, just as Xerxes arrives behind him. Darius falls back into his son's arms.
Yet even as the praise and glory were heaped upon him, Themistocles knew in his heart he had made a mistake. It was Darius's son, Xerxes, whose eyes had the stink of destiny about them. Themistocles knew he should have killed that boy. That glorious mistake would forever haunt him.
Glowering Xerxes meets Themistocles' gaze through the rain. Day, horse riders approach city walls.
And so it was Themistocles himself who sent a ripple across the Persian Empire and set into motion forces that would bring fire to the heart of Greece. For as the good king lay dying, all his greatest generals and advisors were summoned to his bedside. None greater than his finest naval commander, Artemisia. Her ferocity bested only by her beauty. Her beauty matched only by her devotion to her king.
In a palace, Artemisia arrives at Darius's bedside. The arrow protrudes from his chest.
Darius favored Artemisia among his generals, for she had brought him victory on the battlefield. In her, he had the perfect warrior protege that his son Xerxes would never be.
She takes Darius's hand and kisses it.
So sweet, my child. My sweet child.
Xerxes arrives and kneels by Darius. Bearded with dark shaggy hair, Xerxes grips Darius's hand in his.
Father. Xerxes. Do not repeat your father's mistake. Leave the ignoble Greeks to the ways. Only the gods can defeat them. Only the gods.
Scowling with a tear on her cheek, Artemisia stands over Darius and grips the arrow. She pulls it from his chest. Darius's eyes are locked in a grim death stare.
For 7 days, Xerxes mourned, paralyzed by grief. On the 8th day, Artemisia whispered the seed of madness that would consume him.
Your father's words were not a warning, but a challenge. Only the gods can defeat the Greeks.
She stares in his eyes.
You will be a god king.
She watches as Xerxes leaves the city.
Artemisia gathered the priests, wizards and mystics from every corner of the empire. They wrapped the young king in Cimmerian gauze dipped in ancient potions and set him to wander the desert. till in a delirium of heat and thirst, he stumbled upon a hermit's cave.
People in rags watched Xerxes limp past.
Xerxes passed the vacant eyes and empty souls of the hollow creatures that dwell in the dark corners of all men's hearts.
He enters a glowing pool.
And in that darkness, he surrendered himself completely to power so evil and perverse.
Leaning back slightly, he drops underwater.
But as he emerged, no part of a human man that was Xerxes survived.
Bald-headed and decked in reams of golden jewelry, Xerxes rises from the pool.
His eyes blaze like scarlet coals. He was stripped, cleansed, glabrous and smooth. Xerxes was reborn a god.
In the palace, Artemisia hides with a long dagger raised by her head.
Artemisia trusted no one. So in the cover of night, the palace was cleansed of all Xerxes' allies.
She garrots a bearded man.
All those he trusted.
Another man screams as he's held down underwater.
All those who had raised him.
Slaves open vast doors and towering Xerxes strides through.
All those he had once looked to for counsel were quickly introduced to her wrath.
Another bearded man twitches and dies on the palace floor. Artemisia walks away from the body. She stands proudly as Xerxes strides past. His long black cape trails behind him as he goes up a ramp and stands on a gold-plated platform overlooking the city's main square, filled with people looking up at Xerxes. He holds his arms out, wide and steady. Dark-eyed, Artemisia remains inside.
And as the god king stood before his people, Artemisia watched her flawless manipulation take shape.